refiner's fire, and like pillars of silver. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. And they offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness.
Jack the Overcomer, and this is the voice of the Last Day Prophet of God from Baltimore, South Carolina, to bring you the message and the proclamation of the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. My servant, I want you this day to speak unto my people and unto the United States of America. For the day of her judgment has now come up before me, and it's time that I must move against this nation and against those within her ranks who call themselves my people. Judgment of the Lord thy God is now resting upon you, even as the time of the coming of my Son Jesus Christ is a set time.
Because you have not heard calamity upon calamity, tragedy upon tragedy, and evil upon evil, and destruction upon destruction will be upon this place, saith the Lord. Hear me, world. I send unto you prophets. They have Moses and the prophets. If they don't hear them, neither would they hear though one rose from the dead. I sent unto you prophets. They have Moses and the prophets. If they don't believe them, neither would they believe though one rose from the dead.
Therefore saith the Lord God, it is now the time that I have spoken, and it shall come to pass, saith God, when throughout all the world there will be chaos, there will be floods and famines and earthquakes and fires and plagues on every side. You have chosen to serve Satan, so therefore at the hand of Satan you shall enjoy his benefits of sin and destruction and death and dying. You have chosen him as your God and not the Almighty Yahweh, and Satan comes only to kill and to destroy and to rob, and so shall it be. No longer shall it be prolonged. God, that's all it's to it. You're lying when you do it. That's all it's to it. Now, you may not want to receive that. But that's okay. You don't have to. Go your way. Just fill up your cup. That's all. I'm asking for prayer this morning, Brother Stair. My joints ache all over. Now, I'm only reading these emails to give you an understanding of how many of these I receive from all over the world in dire desperation just for food and clothing and healing and hope and salvation. There's only one hope, sir, ma'am, women, and that's the hope that will make us alive or keep us alive, the hope of Christ's coming. Praise the Lord. No matter where I sit, Brother Stair, my hips ache. We have sisters and brothers here who are in constant pain with one sister has a made out of metal. Another one is just totally incapacitated, has to be lifted from bed to chair. We do have some modern conveniences, like a motorized wheelchair, but even then, I mean, well, we have that. My daughter, Sarah, it's amazing what's happening. The doctors are treating her as something wrong with her eye, but they can't figure out what it is. And I haven't heard from her for a week. 4 weeks. Haven't heard from my daughter in such a desperate need. I was looking at a documentary on the stolen children here in the UK. How many children have been removed from their homes since the baby P case? You know, they let the mother out of prison. You can see the evilness in her face. My daughter didn't do nothing like she did. Nothing. And they won't even let my daughter see her own children. They put her in foster care. The children are traumatized. They're drug away from their mamas and daddies. They don't know who they are, where they are. They're keeping them from their own families. They broke up my family. For one was just playing checkers with the children. They took the children away. Oh, my God. My grandchildren, three of them. Three grandchildren. I haven't seen them since they were three. My little Emmy was just 8 months when they cut her off from her grandparents and took her from her mother's arms. And they won't even tell us where they are. These are the kind of stories that's coming in from families, homes, the tragedies going on in Iraq, in Iran, in Pakistan, in Israel, the atrocities. And then when you look at the news today, this is Saturday that I'm talking to you right now, the 30th, did you see the nationwide headlines of the mass melee that took place across this nation in the stores as people were fighting, beating, screaming, howling like a bunch of, but that's what they are, maniacs over what they think are cheap prices for merchandising. And most of these people live from hand to mouth. Some don't even have no jobs at all. And boy, you could see them. My God, look, you, if you're watching TV, if you're looking at the news, you've seen the headlines. They're raging. Yesterday, boy, they were raging. Camping out overnight, fighting, literally beating up, ripping down, tearing up. Oh, my. Oh, my. Well, this is The Overcomer. My name is Brother Stair. Our contact phone number is U.S. Code 1-843-701-5053. My mailing address. It would be well with you if you would write a letter this week as we begin this broadcasting across the world, unprecedented. I've got the list right here. I can tell you what time of day I'll be speaking to the folk in Africa, to Asia, to Brazil, to Australia, to the United States, to South America, to Central America. It's all targeted and then around the world. Praise the Lord. What hath God wrought? And I can tell you that this is just the beginning of the final move. I don't believe that we're right in the last hour yet, but I believe we're on the verge of the last hour. I really do. And I believe that the clock is ticking so rapidly, and I thank the Lord for that. Dear Brother writes, God bless you, servant of the Lord. I want to thank God for the voice of one crying in the wilderness, which is warning the people of God daily, which is warning the people of God. He that hath ears to hear, the people of God, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. I thank God for the voice of one crying in the wilderness, which is warning the people of God daily to prepare and to flee from the wrath to come. I pray that we do not turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness, Brother Stair, and believe the one who God has sent. If we do not, God will destroy the unbelievers in the midst of God's people. Jude chapter 1 and verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this. I will therefore put you in remembrance, people of God, children of God, backslider, cold and indifferent. I will therefore put you in remembrance. Boy, how many times I keep talking to the few I have here. Remember, remember, remember. Apply remembering. Remember, then consider and beware. Jude chapter 1, verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards, after he had saved them, after he delivered them, destroyed them that believed not. You know, I quote that scripture a lot around here. You know what a lot of the people sitting right here do? They look at me and they say, and then they go right on in their wrong belief. It's amazing to watch how so darkened we are, how so willingly ignorant we are that God is speaking to us. The sin of unbelief, the sin that has beset just about every person that ever started running for Jesus. Oh my God. 1 Corinthians 15:30. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? People of God today have a pattern of moving in and out of God's grace. God wants us to sit still and stay in the place where he prepared for his people. The time for the return of Christ is much closer than what most people think. I dealt with that yesterday in the dining room. As they were sitting there, I stood up and I said, I wonder how many of you people have your mind at this point in time on the coming of Christ. Well, no one responded positively because we caught them unaware. They weren't expecting that kind of a question. And then I went ahead and said to them, have you not read that the Lord will come in an hour when you're not thinking? Well, you said, preachers there, are we supposed to have our mind on Christ all the time? Well, for you to be saved, Christ has his mind on you all the time. Mindful. How about you? Can you? Will you? Will you focus your mind on and your affections on things above? Ah, boy. The time for the return of Christ, Brother Stair, is much closer than what most people think. Absolutely. Of course, a lot of folks don't even believe he's coming at all. There's a lot in this world that don't believe he came before. That's what this is all about. The final conclusion of the whole matter. That God is God. Jesus is Christ. He's coming again. The kingdom will be established, and it won't be in the kingdom halls and the massive buildings of the Jehovah's Witness or the Catholic Church or any other church. God doesn't dwell in buildings made with hands. He's preparing him a people in which he will dwell on this earth. If we are still thinking that we have time to do what we want to do because certain things have not happened, then we are too late. For example, disregard the seven thunders. You have told us that once the fourth thunder sounds, the next three will come very quickly. I sure have, my friend. And I am positive that most people don't grasp the significance of that word right there. Brother Stair, in fact, the first three, have also come very quickly because the revelation came after the first three had already happened. Wow. True, brother. True. I remember how quickly it did come. Once God revealed to me the thunders, they were revealing to me of certain happenings that took place, and I said, that was thunder number one, thunder number two, thunder number three. I wonder if any of you people out there really have taken time to listen to the message on the thunders of Revelation. If you haven't, why not write a letter today? Just do it. Write a letter, quickly put it in the mail, enclose an offering to help with as long as you can. See, it won't be long. You won't even be able to give an offering, and we won't be able to receive one. So we ain't got no faith. We ain't going nowhere, are we? We're going to be right here locked into a fiery furnace, aren't we? Yes, we are. But now, if you still have a little offering, a little money, I got to pay my light bill. Well, the day's going to come very quickly when you won't be able to do that, even if you have money. All I can say to you you people that's holding back your money or trying to live on a budget that you have chosen to live, and you're not going to do it. You know you're not. Some of you know it. I just take an offering right now. Put it in an envelope. Write a letter, The Overcomer, Box 691, Walter Burrow, South Carolina, and the zip code 29488, and you request the message on the Thunders of Revelation. They're on CD or cassette. We'll get it right back to you. And then you sit down and you listen diligently to that message. If there was ever a series of preaching that God gave me, it was that message on the Thunders. I still remember it. Started out with an inquiry for my own soul as I read the words of God in Revelation, where God had told John, "Come up hither, John. I'm going to show you things that were, that are, and that are surely to come to pass." Now, he wrote that 2,000 years ago. And those things come to pass. If you're still waiting for Revelation to be fulfilled, it's almost complete. It's almost fulfilled to the T. And it will be very soon at the coming of Jesus Christ. And the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." That's the ending of Revelation. But it's in that book where God told John to write these things down. A little parallel of events and happenings mysteriously in the spiritual realm. And only those that have the Spirit of God. John said, "I was in the Spirit when I got this." Glory to God. And he said, "I was in the Spirit concerning the Lord's day, or the seventh day, or the change of age, or the last day." And he said, "I was caught up into heaven. And I heard the Lord speak to me." You know, you write these things down. We're going to write them down so that a preceding or succeeding generation will have an understanding of what I have planned and purposed, saith the Lord. But when he came to the message of the thunders, he heard the thunders. He heard the thunders were God speaking. Seven thunders, seven things God said. And John said, "I was going to write them down like I had been commanded." And God, the angel, said to me, "Don't you write these things down." Boy, did that challenge my heart. Why? Why would you not want us people to know what God said? Then God showed me. The seven thunders are the seven last utterances from the very mouth of Almighty God to bring all things to an end. Events that will take place. And then he told me the first three. He told me, and so we're at least three of the thunders fulfilled, taking place, and now we wait for the fourth one. And he gives it by revelation. It was a secret what God said. John was not allowed to write it down. So how in the world are we going to find out what it is of the secret of God? Why, he would, at times, when he's ready to do it, he reveals the secret to his servant, the prophet. That's why I keep talking to you about this is the prophet. And you all know that God's going to send the prophet like he sent Jonah. He said so. I'll tell you right now, if it's not me, and you know where he's at, I would like to know, because I will do everything in my power. Every time I hear from some man out here who has a little bit of light concerning the end time, I try to make contact with him. I can't see if we can't compare this move of the Spirit of God in our heart. They don't want to come to me because most of them don't want to believe that there is a prophet. Well, I'm a prophet. I'll go further than that. I'm the prophet. Now, the only impact I have with that is that the Holy Ghost touches your heart. Say, why don't somebody right now, as the Spirit of God is touching your heart, saying, hear the prophet. They have Moses and the prophets. You have the scriptures, Moses, the word of God, and Brother Stair. You do have it, world. You do have, brother. I am here. I am alive, and I will live as long as God ordains it, and that's it. And if I die, it's in the will of God. That's it, too. So your words of life or death mean nothing at all. It's God's word that means life or death to me. Now, as I'm talking to you right now, I hear the Spirit of God speaking inside of me, and there's two or three out here that have $50,000 laid back, $100,000 laid back. And again, someone's got $1 million. You've got it. And if you don't give it soon, you're going to lose every single part of it. Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where the moth, where and the rust will corrupt, where inflation will eat it away, where thieves will break through and steal. You need to give it in faith now. Father, I just broke in on that one. Help me, God, to deal with the onslaught to come back at me again. But would you help these people to respond today with that offering that we just spoke about? They're there. I believe that. There's not many, but they're there. So I have that 100, I have that 100 shortwave stations in my heart. It's been burning in there for years. The gold. To saturate Satan's domain with the living word of God pronouncing his demise. Move upon your people, Lord, to turn loose and be free from trying to sustain themselves in this life and prepare to live in the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. The contact phone number for you to call, and I would advise you to do that. Don't lay it back and think about it. Make the commitment now. Pick up the phone, U.S. code 1-843-701-5053, U.S. code 1-843-701-5053. We're praying for you folk around the world. We're praying that somehow God will help us, help you find a way to tune into the prophet and listen, whether I speak over and over again, listen to what the Spirit is saying. The Spirit and the bride are making themselves ready, and they're in agreement. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We are on the verge of that fourth thunder. And that's like the brother says here. For example, Brother Stair, regarding the seven thunders, you have told us that once the fourth thunder sounds, the next three will come very quickly. Isn't that what Jesus said? Behold, I come quickly. Oh, this last work of God. He's going to be so quick. He's not going to give man a chance to his people to fail. He's going to do a quick work. He's not going to give the five wise virgins chance to run out of oil. He's going to do a quick work. In fact, the first three thunders also came very quickly because the revelation came after the first three have already happened. True. And the fourth thunder, even though I can project to you what I think it is, I will not be able to tell you what it is until after it happens. And then the next three will happen very rapidly in a short period of time. Romans 9:28. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. Because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. If God can bring total destruction, Brother Stair, in 1 hour, then God can also restore all things in 1 hour, because it will be a quick work. I will restore the years, I will restore. Thank you, Father. God will make the final move until all God's people, God will not make the final move until all God's people are ready and secure in the faith. Thus, ones who believe not will be taken. Praise the Lord for sending the prophet among the people of God. Ephesians 4:12-14. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. The prophet had a cock. We've heard you say it many times, prophet. He cried out, why dost thou show me iniquity? Oh, how gracious is the Lord our God, that is full of mercy, that is full of mercy and long suffering. Micah 7:18. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Prophet, keep preaching and continue in your faith and love. I'm thankful for you and pray for you. May God grant you abundance of grace, mercy, love, wisdom, and revelation as you stand before the saints of God worldwide once again today and every day. Love you, keep enduring, prophet. He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Jesus coming. Maranatha. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You're listening to the Overcomer radio broadcast. My name is Brother Stair. Oh, there's so many things that are happening in the realm of the spirit. It's just, unless you are walking in the spirit, filled with the spirit, seeking the things that are above, you won't know it. Dear Brother Stair, Sister Melanie, down here in New Zealand, I send greetings to you from New Zealand on this Sabbath day. I'm listening to you over the internet, and as always, I'm encouraged and stirred in my spirit, receiving the good oil through the message. I've been listening to you for the past 8 years now. I'm grateful to be able to hear you. I don't have the fellowship around me that I used to, and it's hard to stay focused. But no matter how many fall away around me, I know what God has put in my heart regarding myself and the witness. It just can't fade. When I take the time to meditate on His Word and sit...
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Just down there in New Zealand, God bless you. And keep you strong even this day. In the strong and powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just one thing on the other side of this coin, where we talk about events and happening. Ever since Mr. Obama miraculously, supernaturally, divinely inspired, moved into the forefront of world politics and eventually became recognized as the most powerful man on the face of the earth, as he led the United States into a free fall to degradation and desolation, something he inherited. He did not start that, although he was in it, even though it started. He did not just come up from nowhere. He was in politics and in this kind of preparation for many years. But now we're in a total abominable nation that everything that we held dearly or thought we held dearly is being destroyed. Now, one of the things that people are talking about, and this is really unique, I was just reading the account of how our presidents were limited to two terms. Now, it wasn't always that way, you know. Along came the Second World War, and it was during the Second World War where Mr. Roosevelt just canceled elections, canceled everything, and he remained in power until he died for 4 years. Again, then he come back. We got to limit the power of the executive branch. So they did that. And so Mr. Bush, both Daddy and Boy and Clinton, all those fine political leaders, they could serve their two terms, and that was it. They had to get out of the picture, although they didn't get out of the picture because the presidency is just a figurehead for the power structure. That's the truth. Now, with Mr. Obama, you know, the fellow who'd been elected and went up and he can't be elected anymore, they call that a lame duck situation. That means he's crippled in as far, how far he can go. And so Mr. Obama has actually gone beyond the limitations that have been put on him by the Congress and by the Constitution with his executive orders. He has written and signed more than almost all the presidents before him, and so he's governing not by the Constitution, but by executive order dictated to him by the power structure that is above him. And I wish there was a way I could tell you that. The scriptures told us that there would be a man who would rise to power in the book of Daniel says, and he would come out little horn, so to speak, and he would rise to power, but not by his own power. Can you grasp that? Mr. Obama's not doing what he's doing by his own power or his own charisma. He has been empowered by a greater power than him. He's doing just like most leaders of the world are doing, that has supposedly been elected by the people. He's doing what the power structure, the economic ones who control, have told him to do. Mr. Henry Kissinger made it very clear when he said, he's the man, the power structure wants him in, and he will do the job because we're going to help him do it. That's all there is to it. Now listen to this latest thing that's taking place now. Presidential term limits. Presidential term limits. 2 years, two terms, and that's it. Presidential term limits necessary and right or bad for democracy. The time has come to end presidential term limits because continuing restrictions on how long one can serve in the country's highest office is bad for the United States. We need a dictator. We need somebody who can do what he wants to do and nobody can overtake him. That's why we see much of the military being shook up because most of these countries, when they are finally overthrow a dictator, it's the military that does it. And so we see our president and this country moving to strengthen the military, to get out the rogues, so when the time comes to domineer and control of America and the world, it will be the military. It will be that. Martial law. No person shall be elected to the office of the president more than twice. This was the 22nd Amendment to the Constitution. Now you see why they're crying very vehemently for a constitutional convention to change some of these amendments, like the one about carrying guns and free speech and, you know, all that. And don't be surprised, my friend, if we all of a sudden see a move dramatically by our Congress, by our states. I forget how many states now that are already have put in their opinion that they want a constitutional convention to rewrite the Constitution. And it could be very soon. The amendment concerning two terms, limiting the office of a man in the presidency, it came into being a few years after Franklin Roosevelt was elected to the fourth of his White House terms. Known to Americans as the president during the final years of the Great Depression and most of World War II, Roosevelt, a Democrat, died in office before completing his last term. After the war, Republicans made a successful bid to install a two-term maximum for future presidents. They limited not only the president's time in office, but they limited also democracy. In other words, what this writer says, that we should, if we're a democracy and the people run things, we shouldn't limit the man to whom the people want. Isn't that the way all these world dictators say? Mr. Putin, he won his election. Zimbabwe's president, he won his election. In Afghanistan, they win their election. The only problem with that is that the people are not running the elections. Well, who's going to understand that? With President Obama's JAM approval number down sharply, the nation's chief executive is perhaps being hampered by the fact that this is his final term. Well, I don't think that's 100% true, because he has made it very clear that if he has to, he'll just overrule Congress and overrule the people and just come out with an executive order. And he's doing it. He's doing it. But what I want to say is there is now a discussion going on about changing the Constitution. Well, we've been in that process for quite a while. Changing the Constitution and changing the manner of life in America and justice and liberty and freedom for all will soon be justice and liberty and freedom for all to do what you're told by your government, by your doctor, by your politician, or by your lifestyle. We are in that time period, my friends, when they will come up with a cause for all men to surrender your will, your soul, your mind, and your body to be controlled, influenced by the devil himself, presenting himself as an angel of light, a new way of life, so that we can enjoy peace on earth.
One voice crying in the wilderness. One voice proclaiming righteousness.
One man doing what he had been called and ordained to do, crying in the wilderness, in the tribulation time, in the final time, in the last time. This is Brother Stair. Hatred pulls on many of you who are probably gathering around or gathering with. Seems like this pagan holidays that we have come to observe in America, Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving and all these pagan days that honor the God of this world. What do you mean, Preacher Stair? Come on, folk. You know as well as I do, we turned these days that were originally given to Thanksgiving to God into commercialization, into family gatherings, and God is so far from our mind. And that is the truth. I just read an account just a few moments ago. Our nation is so perverted. Our college system, our school system, our churches, corrupted. our leaders, men of corrupt mind. It seems like you can't find a righteous soul hardly anywhere. And everybody out here today on this supposedly Thanksgiving to God, and they're not even thankful for what God has done for them. And they'll feed their guts. They'll do everything for themselves. Well, you say, preacher, you're okay. I just saw an article that just infuriated me again. Out somewhere, I think it's in Arizona, there's some school teachers that on their own time, and before school time, they had a little Bible class in one of the classrooms. They would talk about God, read the Bible, and no one was required to be there except the students that wanted to be there. And they would sometimes gather around and pray for each other, right? Laying hands on each other. Well, there was some people who were not attending it, but they would get offended when they looked into the room and saw these other students praying, worshiping God on their own time. So now they're suing the people, the teachers, for practicing their religion in the school and for praying in the school and praying for... Isn't this something? This is what goes on. And the court will actually listen to a case like that. Well, they have a right. Yeah, they have a right, huh, to sue for somebody for praying when they're not even bothering them. How come they have a right to do that and the other folks don't have a right to pray? I'll tell you, my friends, America is not a righteous nation. Our government is not right. Our finances is not right. Our religions are not right. Our secularism is not right. Our economics is not right. This is a nation that has reached the impediment of total degradation. It's more vile, more wicked than Nineveh, more corrupt than Sodom and Gomorrah, and more evil than it was in the days of Noah. And that is the truth. Can I say that again? Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? I know exactly how you're going to answer me. Are you self-assured people who are living according to the flesh? You're going to say, oh, but we're not appointed to wrath. And then I'll agree with you. The elect of God, the chosen of God, are not appointed to endure or suffer the wrath of God. That's not the wrath I'm warning you to flee from. John the Baptist preached, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? The wrath they're talking about is the wrath of Satan, who is going to be turned loose and is now loosing. The evil spirits that were locked up in the river Euphrates are being turned loose now, and they're coming in like a flood. Every nation, every society is feeling the impact and the control of the demonic hordes. War, death, dying, suffering. I quote it to you all the time. I wish I could find a way to get assurance in my heart that you are listening. For my only hope, after I spent hours of talking and speaking and thinking and meditating, and millions of dollars would have been spent to warn God's people of the wrath that is to come. What wrath are you talking about, Preacher Stair? I'm talking about the wrath that is spoken of in Revelations chapter 12 and verse 12. Have you heard it? Have you read it? Woe be unto the inhabitants of the earth. For Satan has, not will, but has, come down unto you having great wrath. He's the instigator of every sin. He's the director of every wickedness. He is the one who created and starts every war and brings all sickness, all death, all anxiety, He comes only to kill, to destroy, and to rob. And to do that, he must have a body. He's a spirit being, so he must have a body. And the bodies that he's going into are the bodies of great men, mighty men, black men, white men, every man. He must have a body. And he's possessing him. And soon he's going to cap that body on this earth with his head. He's going to dwell in a man. Satan himself will dwell in a man in a body, and he will control, dictate his army of death and dying in every capacity. And he's going to go against God, instead of God, replace God, and people are going to believe in him as God. Don't you think you need to be warned to flee from the wrath of Satan? You're so inundated in living this life in this world the way it is. I'm telling you, I know you, many of you, most of you are not going to listen to me. You're just not going to do it. I received another email today from another watchman, and he wanted to talk about, again, the coming happenings and projecting to go on for several years. And I wrote him, and I said, when are you going to recognize and receive the most profound thing that God has done that he promised he would do so that his people would know? And when I talk like that, you know what they're going to do? They're just not going to accept what God said. God said, Jesus said, this is an evil and a wicked generation. And they're always seeking after a sign. I've given them signs and signs and signs, and they always say, well, that's not enough. They're looking for a sign. And then God said, I will send them a sign. I will send them a sign like I sent Jonah to Nineveh. I will send them a prophet who will speak to the nations as Jonah spoke to Nineveh. And the people of Nineveh will rise up in this generation and condemn it. The message of Jonah to Nineveh was tremendous. As I've often said to you, Jonah ran from God on that, and God prepared a great fish and threw him out on the shores just off of Nineveh and said, go do what I told you to do. And Jonah did it. And I told it, isn't that something? God prepared a great fish. You know, God prepared the internet, shortwave radio, and he threw me right into the middle of it. Do you understand that? And here, he's throwing me, just vomiting me right out upon this wicked world and says, you prophesy. You say to them, and soon it will be absolutely almost identical to Jonah. As I speak, a 40-day period of time that's going to bring this domino down, this nation down, this world down. When are you going to do that? At the right time. I can't just speak it. I'm going to have to be backed up by God, and I believe that. When's it coming? All I can tell you, that the urgency of it burns in my soul every day. Even the fear of doing it or not doing it is trembling to my spirit. Jesus made it very clear, though, that this generation, this one that you are a part of, will not repent. The people of Nineveh will condemn this generation because they repented. Did you know that Jonah never identified himself as a prophet of God? Do you know that Jonah never said, thus saith the Lord? The Bible tells us he went into the city of Nineveh after God had dealt with him from the belly of the whale. He went into the city of Nineveh a day's journey, and he raised his voice, and he had one message and one message only. 30 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed. He didn't say, thus saith the Lord. He didn't say, I'm a servant of God. He just lifted up his voice, and that was his message. Whenever someone looked at him or someone came to see what he was doing, he would say, 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. That's all he would say. Read it. Go ahead, read it. And somehow the intensity of his message caused the people to stop and take notice. And they, there's a man out here running through your great city, and he's got a lot of folk listening to him, and he's saying 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. And it persisted. He didn't back away from it. So the king himself probably went out to look at him, and the same message, 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. And here's the king of Nineveh. Your whole world's going, sir. Somehow, that king recognized for that to be done, it would have to be done by God. He knew that Jonah couldn't do it. Nations couldn't do it. Armies couldn't do it to destroy Nineveh. And for someone to be so positive, it had to be a message from God. So the fear of God gripped the king of Nineveh. He pulled out a proclamation. Everybody fast, animals, beasts, no more eating, no more drinking. For 3 days, we got to do this. Free adventure. God will spare this city if you don't do it. And this man's message is true, and I believe it is. We're gone. We're finished. And so the people, they fasted and prayed and repented, and God spared the city. Now, my friends, or my listener, I don't know whether you have any spiritual conception at all, but for several years now, God has raised up this prophet like he raised Jonah. I'm not Jonah. He didn't say he would bring Jonah back. He said, I would raise up a prophet like I did Jonah. And he will speak. And he will speak destruction to the world and the things of the world. I've been doing it now for quite a few years. Now it's going to come to the head. I missed many of you here on this supposedly holiday. You're not preparing to meet the Lord. There'll be hardly any repentance anywhere as your gluttony filled your stomach and waste your money on riotous living and selfish doing. And you're trying to convince yourself you're thanking God. Heavenly Father, I pray today you will show us mercy. Help me, God, not to be part of this worldly spirit that is not of God. From a small farm in the state of South Carolina, in the United States of America, we bring to you again the voice of the last day prophet of God. My name is Brother Stair. On this particular day, when seemingly the whole world is misleading even themselves, as they call it, Thanksgiving, the world is not thanking God. They're not doing it. And I'm sure that most of you, I cringe when people say to me, have a happy Thanksgiving. Well, I'm not going to go down that route today. I've been hearing some phone calls and questions and comments and uncertainty. So as I listen to them, I inquire from the Lord. This fourth beast, God, this world government, this apostate church system, this Laodicean church, this the laity rules, make up their own mind, live their own life. How do you talk to them? And then I heard the word of the Lord come on to me saying, son of man, oh boy, is that going to infuriate the enemies of the cross and the truth? That we who have received Christ are sons of men. And we that who preach Christ, a specific message, are sons of men. Every one of you, you have received Christ, you are a son of man. You have a message to deliver to whoever inquires of you on why you believe what you believe, think what you think, live the way you live. And the reason why they inquire is because you do not live the way of the world. And one reason why they're not inquiring too much of you is because you're too much like the world and you need to get a transformation. My people, God says, are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And the Bible says the reason why they have a lack of knowledge is because they refuse knowledge. That doesn't make sense, does it, to the human mind? When you tell someone or anyone what they need to do to be right, and they refuse. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the international worldwide broadcast, The Overcomer. And this is the voice of the Last Day Prophet of God. This broadcast reaches the entire world 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, comes into your country, your place, on this frequency at this time, every day. I would like to just give you some information on how you can help us to continue this broadcast. One way is to contact us. Somehow let us know where you are and what you're listening at or what frequency you're tuned into or what source of broadcast. One worldwide way to check in with us is to go to our website. If you have the opportunity to go to our website, there on the website is a contact page that you can click on, send me an email. There on the website also is information concerning the Overcomer broadcast. The website is very simple. You just go to www.overcomerministry. That's M-I-N-I-S-T-R-Y. Overcomerministry.org. And like I say, just explore the website, go to our contact page, and send me an email if you like. I'd appreciate it. Another way is to give us a telephone call if you have access to the phone. Our phone number is 001. That's U.S. code 001-843-701-5053. You can call that number anytime, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That telephone number again is U.S. code 1-843-701-5053. I'd appreciate it if you're listening at this time on this particular frequency or station, if you just take the time to contact us. With